Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. I hope your Thanksgiving was a good one. On today's show, we're going to talk about a hot stock that has investors up in the air. We'll explore the age-old question, does money buy happiness? We'll talk about some questions you should ask before donating money this holiday season, and we're going to play our game of Turkey Talk. But we begin by talking to the CEO of an airline company that's taken off on Wall Street recently. Doug Parker was the CEO of America West when the company merged with U.S. Airways. Doug Parker is the chairman, president, and chief executive officer of U.S. Airways. He joins us from U.S. Airways headquarters in Tempe, Arizona. Doug Parker, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
Doug, a lot of people traveling for the holiday weekend. How does Thanksgiving rank in terms of your business?
Oh, it's way up there. The Thanksgiving holiday is right behind Christmas holidays as the heaviest travel season of the year, and the Sunday actually of Thanksgiving is probably the heaviest single travel day throughout the year.
And Doug, a lot of people may not realize you were the CEO of America West, and in late September your company merged with U.S. Airways, so you're now the chairman, president, and CEO of the newly created company. What's been the biggest surprise in just these first couple of months?
Well, I guess the biggest surprise is how well everything's gone so far. I mean, this is, you know, putting together two airlines is not something that has historically gone extremely well so far in our industry. And I should note it's extremely early, of course. But thus far, it's gone very, very well. We've had we certainly have no major glitches in the system. And our employees have been very cooperative and excited about the transaction and are working well together to try and figure out how to make this work.
Your company posted a net loss of $87 million for the recently ended third quarter. What was behind that?
Fuel prices, primarily. I mean, fuel prices have had a dramatic impact on our business and continue to in the third quarter. On a positive note, those results were much, much better than the prior year. When you look at the two airlines on a standalone basis, both airlines have seen, America West and U.S. Airways, saw a nice improvement versus 2004 third quarter, and driven primarily by revenue improvements.
United Airlines has said that it needs oil to average around $50 a barrel over the next 5 years to meet its earnings targets. What does that number look like for U.S. Airways?
Well, we actually believe with what we've created now and with the amount of synergies that we can create by putting these two companies together, we can be profitable with fuel at $60 a barrel or even higher. We developed a plan for next year that had fuel at $57 a barrel when we put the merger together that projected profitability for us.
Let's talk a little bit of history. Before the merger, U.S. Airways had a checkered past. U.S. Airways just came out of bankruptcy protection for the second time in 3 years. How do you convince a potential shareholder that there won't be a third time?
Well, they go through the business model and look at it. I mean, we were able to raise $867 million of new equity attracted to this company. That's more than any airline has ever raised in the history of our business by a wide margin. We were able to convince those investors because what they saw is what we've created is a model that can work in this environment. It has the low-cost structure of America West. It has the route network of U.S. Airways, taking the best of both, so we create a full-service, low-cost airline.
A number of airlines have struggled with friction between management and labor, and that's been really a long-term problem for the industry. You've worked on the management side for several different airlines now. I'm going to ask you about labor in a second, Doug. But first, what is the single biggest mistake that management, in your mind, has made in dealing with labor over the years?
I think management hasn't communicated well enough with its labor groups. Certainly, it's been the history I've had with other airlines I've worked at, a view amongst management that we're just going to do this because what else will labor do? And they treat labor not as a resource, but more as a cog in the machine that will just perform when asked. And our view is that doesn't work. And what you need to do is, we have a great group of employees, but they you have to let them know where the company's headed and let them know what their role is in the process.
Historically, where do you think labor has gone wrong?
Well, again, I think sometimes it's hard for union leaders to communicate to the rank and file how bad the situation is, because they're political animals that can be, that unlike elected officials in government, can be thrown out at any time, and they do get thrown out. So they find it, sometimes labor, I think, finds it hard to pass along the bad news. And in a business like ours, where it's, unfortunately we've had more than our share of bad news, they win elections based on promises that they simply cannot hold up when things turn bad, and it makes it very hard for them to communicate that news. And the result is a lot of tension and a lot of time wasted until you get to the right result, which is what was needed for the company to be successful.
Mm. And in keeping with our theme of constructive criticism, if you had one criticism for the Motley Fool, what would that be?
I have no criticism for the Motley Fool. You guys do a great job. We're big fans here.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say. It occurred to me I should ask that, because I'm asking you to critique management and labor. Everybody in your industry, is not fair that I wouldn't invite a little criticism of what we do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. But we're big fans.
You've changed your ticker symbol to LCC for the new stock. Our crack research staff has puzzled out that acronym and believes that it stands for low-cost carrier. Doug, was that your idea? Whose idea was that?
First off, your research team is right. That is what we did. It actually came from one of our guys down in corporate communications, as we were struggling with what ticker symbol to use. And we fought very hard at America West to get the investment community, as well as our customers, to understand that we were a low-cost airline, a low-cost carrier, and that we had a pricing structure that supported that. U.S. Airways has historically been a very high-cost airline and therefore a high-fare airline. We thought the ticker symbol was appropriate as we try and transform U.S. Airways to a low-cost carrier. It's not meant to be a statement of fact, but rather a statement of an aspirational statement that says this is what we have to be,
mm-hmm.
and a statement to the market that says that's what we plan to get done here. So we thought it was appropriate for that reason.
And certainly that phrase will remind some of our listeners of Southwest Airlines, which within the industry has been really the star stock to have owned over the last 30 years. Are you actively, in your mind, mimicking what Southwest does well? Are you trying to go that direction, or are you trying to create something new?
Now, it's something new, because what they've done, I don't think, can be redone. But we certainly are looking at their success and building an airline that can compete with them. They do a very good job of keeping their costs very low. They run a point-to-point network with bare-bones service, but service that people care about. You know, it's always on time. There's a lot of frequency. So they do a good job of setting customer expectations at a level that they can meet them, and they go and meet them or exceed them. So there's a lot about Southwest that, indeed, we look at as a model. But in terms of how we fly the airline, it's dramatically different. We're a hub-and-spoke airline. We actually do have first-class seats. We're part of the Star Alliance. We have airport clubs. We have assigned seating. We have the ability to buy food on board if you'd like it. A lot of product attributes that Southwest doesn't have, but we're going to do so at a cost that is not as low as theirs, but close enough that with the revenue premium we attract, we can be as profitable as they are. And a lot of what they do, simplicity, focus on customer, focus on employees, we think are standards that we need to meet.
According to our research team, U.S. Airways recently gave four of its top executives raises. What do shareholders think when they look over at what's happened historically at this company and said, you know, over the last several years, people have taken 30% pay cuts, thousands of employees at the company. Is it right to give executives raises?
Well, first off, I chose not to take a raise, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
But I also chose to recommend that these other guys did get raises, not large ones. But I think reflective of the market, we did a full analysis of where the market is for pay and decided to make, you know, some modest adjustments to some of our senior executives to get them all in line, too, as we put two companies together. Now, having, you know, that's what business does. I mean, you have to make sure you have compensation plans in place that keep your team together, and that was my view of the right thing to do in order to keep this team together, which, by the way, I think is a fantastic team. Now, how it relates to the fact that this is a company where the employees have, as you've said, given 30% pay cuts, how do you rationalize that? again, that was the U.S. Airways company that where that happened. That's not America West Employees. It's not the merged company where that happened.
Mm-hmm.
As we put the merger together, what we've told people is we all are where we are. We're going to try and put every labor group together and not see any reductions in total compensation as we put them together. As to management, as we put the two management teams together, we've laid off 30% of the workforce. So we're asking people to do, you know, a good bit more work. The ones that are, the 70% remain are being asked to do a good bit more work, and I think the right thing to do is make sure you have those people's pay properly at market, and that's all we did.
Doug, what's one thing you now know about the business world that you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, what I've learned, and certainly is came true in this merger, is how important relationships are in the business world. And I don't think in business school they teach you that. I know I certainly didn't learn it. While knowing all the numbers and making sure you're, you know, smarter than the next guy are obviously very important, when it really comes down to getting things done, the people who have a track record of doing what they say they're going to do and that are willing to take risk, but tell people here's what I think is going to happen. If it doesn't work, here's where you'll see it. And when it doesn't work, letting people know right away that it's not working. Those people who can build relationships that way are the ones who are able to go attract capital and get more things done, and have people come to their side to support them when they have big ideas, like trying to go acquire an airline three times your size. And relationships really, really matter, and you just can't stress it enough. And you can't just build them overnight. They take place over years. And what it means is, when you're starting your career, you ought to be thinking about the people you're working with today, because you're going to run into them several more times. And you got to be very careful that you treat them the way you're going to want them to treat you 5 years from now.
Doug Parker is the chairman and CEO of U.S. Airways. He joined us from U.S. Airways headquarters in Tempe, Arizona. Doug Parker, good luck, and thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.